will manifest itself in truth and in goodness.
Local.
The challenges that we're facing in our generation, we just need the gospel. I mean, every culture, every generation just needs to know how the gospel applies.
Engaging.
We don't bring any life at all to the church. The church is the life. It gives us the life.
Live.
The reality is, He is all things beautiful, capital B. And so anything that is authentically beautiful draws us, even if we don't realize it, to God.
Good morning and welcome to Real Presence Live. We are so grateful to be with you this morning. I am one of your hosts, Brad Gray.
And I'm Janine Bitson.
And it is just such a beautiful time. We're still planted firmly in Easter season. We're experiencing the grace of the Lord raining down on us over these last many days. It's been kind of a beautiful, blessed time for us.
It has been. I mean, it's really green out there.
And I love it. I love it.
You know, there's been many prayers when we had very little winter, you know, accumulation. And this is just such a blessing for the farmers. I mean, I'm just really grateful to God that He's raining down that beauty.
I'm with you 100%. And I'm excited about the show that we have coming up. But before we go into that, Janine, would you be willing to lead us off in prayer?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, Almighty Father, You have blessed us greatly. Help us in our lives to understand that You are the vine and we are the branches. In the gospel readings that we have this week, we really focus on the need to understand how ultimately we must remain in Jesus. We must remain connected to You, the source of life, because without You, there is no life. So, Lord God, help us to understand You as the true vine. Help us to understand that if we're separated from You, we have no life. Help us to understand that to remain fruitful, we must make our home with You. And help us and our listeners to understand that You are our home. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Janine. That is drawn out of the readings that we've been in at Mass these last several days. Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. And it's just such a beautiful, beautiful, powerful image.
It's so important, because when we do disconnect, you know, from that vine, we're going to wither. Mm-hmm. We're going to die. And so it's just so important to, even when we have these struggles, you know, to know that we're not alone, to know that He's going to help us carry through it.
Absolutely. You
know? And if we forget that, where's the hope? And so that's what's so important.
Yeah, and you know, that's a good lead into what we're going to be discussing this morning, because we're going to be, we've got just so many awesome segments lined up this morning. We're going to launch things off with a conversation with John Edwards, who's going to be talking about his struggle that he had with addiction, winding up in jail even, almost losing his family, and that rediscovering that connection with the Lord and how that transformed his life and has led into a mission that he's now on, and it's just awesome. And then we're going to have a conversation with Nate and Sarah Erickson talking about the disconnection that they were feeling in their marriage, you know, experiencing that challenge that marriage is, and how they found a renewal and reconnection through the program called Retrovive.
That's really amazing. There is, I mean, as long as we're connected to Jesus, you know, in a relationship with Jesus, there is that hope. Mm-hmm. But then we're going to, at the 10 o'clock hour, we're going to kind of go into where there's some missing hope.
Yeah.
And we are instruments for God in this world to help do His will. And we're going to be talking to the Minnesota Catholic Conference director, Jason Adkins, about a recent House vote in Minnesota to legalize surrogacy. And that's just such a dangerous, dangerous thing.
Yes.
And it can just be the opposite of hope going down this road. And then we're going to also talk to Michael Pauley, who is with the South Dakota Catholic Conference, and he's going to talk about this initiative to legalize marijuana in South Dakota. So we really want you to stay tuned, even though there are going to be tough parts in our show, it's going to really be a call to action for us as Catholics.
It's important to be aware of the things that are out there trying to separate us from that vine. But, you know, we're going to close it, I think, on a very positive note, because we're going to have a couple of guests, Dustin Nia and Maria Sorensen, talking about a recent retreat that took place for adult children of divorce that I got to be a part of just a week and a half ago. And it was just such a profoundly powerful experience. So they're going to get to talk about their experience there and how they encountered the Lord in a very, what would you say, mysterious, a mystical, a powerful, beautiful way of bringing healing into that hurt.
And you know, Brad, and to all our listeners, we all go through these times of brokenness, so these times of suffering, and this whole show is going to really shed that light of hope. And what better way to understand the gift of God's hope by visiting with people who have been there,
yes,
who have walked that cross, and Jesus has helped them come out of that.
Right.
And they're helping others to do the same, which is incredible.
Yes, and that's why I'm so excited that we get to have a great conversation with my friend John Edwards from Just a Guy in the Pew. He's going to be talking about that very dynamic. John, good morning. Thank you for being with us this morning.
Yeah, it's good to be with you guys. Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
John, you are just an absolute gem, and I'm excited for our listeners to get to know you a little bit, as I've had the privilege of doing a little bit in these last couple of years. So why don't you begin by just telling us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Yeah, so my name's, like you said, John Edwards. I've got an apostolate, Just a Guy in the Pew, that's just part of our nonprofit Pew Ministries, and we have a mission of bringing the person of Jesus Christ to the person in the pew. I'm married. I have, which is the more important thing, I'm married and I have three children. My wife is named Angela. She just graduated with her master's yesterday.
Oh, wow.
So excited about that. Yeah, a two-year journey there. And then we have three children. Thank you. We have three children. Jacob, who's my oldest, he's 14, about to move into high school. Then we have two identical twin girls, Allison and Caitlin, that are 11. So the Lord has blessed us in a lot of ways. But yeah, that's a little bit about my family. As far as just my background, I live here in Memphis, Tennessee. I've lived here my whole life. My parents were originally from Mississippi and moved up here for work and started a family. They were born and raised Baptist, and so were we. And I was Baptist while I was about 18 years old. I went to an Episcopal grade school that was in our neighborhood and middle school. So I kind of journeyed around the faith a lot, but found my home in the Baptist church. And from a young age, I just love the Lord. We were going to vacation Bible schools and church camps, and was in the church every day the door was open, and it's really where my friends were. I didn't have a ton of friends at school because I was very vocal about my faith, and that wasn't always the coolest thing when you're a little kid, you know. And so I was out sharing those things. And if you were going to my parents' house, even today, you could find a photo album with me and the same kids that were about the same age, you know, growing up together through the church. And it was that way until I was about 18 years old. Being here in Memphis, you're surrounded by SEC schools, and a lot of kids' parents had gone to Alabama or Auburn or Ole Miss or Tennessee or, you know, one of these colleges. So they all wanted to go off at 18 and follow in their parents' footsteps and go to those schools. Well, my mother went to the Mississippi College for Women, so that wasn't a possibility, and my dad went to a night school. So there wasn't an alma mater there really to affiliate with, so I didn't know what I wanted to do. I'd started working where my father worked at an auto parts place in the back of a warehouse, and I enrolled in the University of Memphis and had no plan for my life. There the first year or so, I was doing well in my grades, but I was very lonely. All I was doing was going to work and to school and working to school, and I had no friends and no relationships and no community. That church was, it didn't really, my Baptist church didn't really have anything for young adults. So the next age up would have been my parents' age, and then it was very heavily, populated by the elderly in the church. It just had a heavy older population, so there wasn't much after the youth groups. So I just started going to the sermons and didn't have anything else to engage in the church. And then at the University of Memphis, I just got really lonely, and I called one guy I knew left in my church or in my city that had grown up with me. He was 3 years older. He'd always kind of let me tag along when I moved to the same high school as him, and he was in our church as well. Turns out he was still at Memphis, and he was the rush chairman for a fraternity, and I thought, well, yeah, I'll call him. And I called him, and he said, come out and and try this, you know, try to rush with us. We'll see if you like us and if we like you. And they did. And that was about the last time I went to church for about 11 years of my life.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, I didn't realize I had father wounds. And with those father wounds came inadequacy wounds. And all I wanted was affirmation and things like that from people. And so I started looking in the wrong places for it. I moved up in my job as well. I was the warehouse manager, so I was making about $35,000-$40,000 a year in college, which was like being rich. Mm-hmm. So I had people coming to me asking me to provide things. Hey, you got money, you know, buy beer, buy this, buy that. So I started doing what everybody else wanted me to, because I wanted friends and I wanted to be liked and I wanted people to think I mattered. I wanted to be seen, loved, and heard. And so that's how I spent a lot of my time in college. And unfortunately, it led me away from the Lord. I quit going to church, and it led me into some addictions. I started binge drinking. I started being very promiscuous. I tried every pill out there, you know, all the over-the-counter stuff, the Valiums, Xanax, all those things that were floating around, and ecstasy, LSD, all that stuff. And then finally, I made a really bad choice in my life one day to do cocaine, and that choice followed me for 17 years of my life.
Wow.
You know, John, as you're sharing this journey, you know, where you were attached to your faith, you had that, you know, love of Christ, and then the world pulled you away. And we're really focused on, you know, the vine and the branches story. But when you look in Scripture in John, right after the vine and the branches, you have the world's hatred and how the world hates us when we love Christ. But they love you if you belong to the world. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that whole affirmation, and it's just like, it hit me profoundly as I have my scripture opened to see the vine and the branches and the hope when we stay connected with Christ, and then what happens when we don't, and, you know, and how that world's hatred. And you just sum that all up in your life in those, you know, 35 years, you know, first 18 and then 17 years more. That's crazy. But it's the way it works.
And I tell high school students when we speak to them, juniors and seniors, you know, they're all giddy and looking forward to getting away from mom and dad and freedom and getting out there and doing their own thing and being their own person. And I'll tell them, freedom's a good thing if you know who you are.
Right.
But if you don't, it's a very dangerous thing, because you're going to allow everybody else in the world to tell you that. And that's exactly what I did. And, you know, making bad choices like I did, I thought, you know, well, this will end and I'll eventually mature and life will happen to me and I'll grow up. And it didn't happen that way. You know, I wound up marrying a beautiful woman who was Catholic. I mean, obviously, Andrew, who I just mentioned. And she told me along the way, the man I'm going to marry is going to be Catholic. And I thought I was the man for the job. So I went and signed right up at the nearest RCIA class and never took it seriously. Never told her the truth about my hidden drug use. You know, and all the way through the birth of my children, I had my mother died of cancer in between the birth of my first child and my second two. And I went off the rails. You know, I just started drinking more and doing more drugs than I'd ever done. I didn't know how to deal with my mother's life, and I sort of blamed God for taking her. Why would you leave a drug addict, scumbag, liar like me alive and take someone who served you so impeccably? If that's the kind of God that you are, I don't want anything to do with you. And I walked away from him even further and just said, I will never serve you again in my life because of the hurt I had of losing my mother. And I was a terrible husband. I was a terrible father. I cared more about myself. My wife and I were like ships passing in the night. So I developed a pornography problem addiction on top of that and was basically sitting up every night till 2 a.m, drinking 20 or 30 beers and doing $40 or $50 worth of cocaine a night and engaging in pornography. Mm-hmm. And that all came to a head in a couple of nights where I went to bed and expected not to be able to sleep for hours on end, like it always happened when you were doing drugs like that. But I fell asleep very quickly, but I was awoken two nights in a row with what I thought was a heart attack, and that's where things started to change in my life.
That is profound and powerful and agonizing, and I hate to do this, but we're going to take a break right here. It's kind of nasty of me, but be sure to stay with us on the other side to hear about this, the way the Lord God broke into all of this hurt, all of this wreckage, and began to transform things in John's life. So stay with us for more Real Presence Live right after this.
This is Real Presence Live, where the focus is not on the evil around us, but on conversion and mercy through the good news that is always good. We're local, engaging, and live on the Real Presence Radio Network. Searching for more great Catholic content? Visit our website at realpresenceradio.com. Find Catholic news you can trust, information about events coming up in the local area, and the latest on what's happening at the RPR Network. And don't forget that you can listen to any of our stations around the clock from anywhere in the world. Need prayers for someone or something in your life? You can submit those through our online form for the entire family to pray for. Real Presence Radio, your family of faith and hope. Online at realpresenceradio.com.
Hi, this is Ben Frost from Holy Spirit Church in Virginia, Minnesota. I work with adult evangelization. I'm also a father of five children. And for me, I'm just so blessed to have Real Presence Radio in our area, because the reality is life gets very busy. The many blessings of working in the church and also raising five children and being a husband, but sometimes I just need times to refuel and to just be present to the Lord. So for me, it's just such a blessing to go into my car in the busyness of my day and to turn on Real Presence Radio, and it really renews me. It fills me with the Holy Spirit and helps me to be a better father, helps me to be a better husband, and it helps me to be a better worker for our church. So I'm just very blessed that we have Real Presence Radio, and we continue just to pray for the Lord's blessings and support for all of their amazing work.
For centuries, healthcare has been central to the healing ministry of the church. Today's technologies offer exciting possibilities, but also serious moral questions. More than ever, we need healthcare leaders who serve with integrity and conviction. The University of Mary answers the call to prepare leaders anchored in moral courage in a breathtaking range of programs from bioethics to nursing. Visit CatholicProfessional.life.
You're listening to Real Presence Live. Now, back to more inspirational and uplifting stories and a look at the extraordinary things happening in our local area. Heard right here on the RPR Network.
Welcome back to Real Presence Live. My name is Janine Bitson.
And I'm Brad Gray.
And we've been having an incredible conversation with John Edwards, who began the Just a Guy in the Pew ministry. And before the break, hopefully our listeners were in touch with us. We had quite the teaser, you know, before we went on break. But John was talking about how he grew up and his deep faith life, and then going off to college and becoming very involved in a lot of behaviors that drew him away from God. And then now, right now, John, you're going to tell us like when this all hit ahead and when you started coming out of these struggles. So take it from there.
Yeah, sure. So, like I was saying, I had I was so into myself, and that's the thing. When we're all innately selfish because of the fall, but when you throw addictions and things in there, it's all you want is what you want, and that's what my life had become. I had moved into being a Fortune 250 outside salesman for this huge company. I won multiple Salesman of the Year awards throughout the whole country. I was making over $200,000 a year, and I had everything the world would tell you you needed to be a man, to be a successful man. You know, I had a beautiful wife, children, a house, a car, a boat, whatever, plenty of money, all that stuff. But I was a broken mess inside. You know, I was a chameleon among men. I could go to work and nobody knew a thing, be around people, nobody knew a thing. But when doors closed, when I was alone, I was nothing but like a raging beast of all of these different vices. And so one night I was sitting there in the den, and Angela and I had become, like I said, two ships passing the night. I would spend time with her and the kids, and then they would go to bed, and then it was party time. So I was sitting up watching some replay of, like, baseball or something on ESPN, not even watching it, just having something on the TV in case anybody came up there. And about 2 in the morning, I said, I need to go to bed. So I finished engaging the vices I had, engaged in pornography basically every night, and then I would go back, take a shower, and go to bed. Well, this one night, I was laying in bed, and I thought, okay, it'll be 4 hours before I go to sleep again, because it's just what cocaine does. But I fell asleep in about 10 minutes. And about 5 minutes after I fell asleep, I sat up in the bed, and my heart was blowing out of my chest, and I thought I was going to die. My heart was just pounding, and I had this sharp pain in my chest, and I rolled out of the bed, hit the floor, and crawled to the bathroom. And somehow my wife didn't wake up, but I crawled up on the toilet and just sat there and just said, oh my gosh, this is it, I'm going to die, this is what I've seen in movies and after-school specials and all these things, and I've finally done too much. And I wanted to call out to my wife and tell her to call an ambulance, but I was afraid. I said, if they show up, they'll take my blood, and she'll know that I've been doing drugs, and she'll leave me. She'll take everything. She'll take, and probably in this order, the house, the money, the car, the kids, you know, at that time, because of how selfish I was. So I thought, I'd rather die right here on this bathroom floor than tell her the truth. And I grabbed a towel and just put it around my face and said, if I'm going to die, at least I'll die quietly. And as I put that towel around my face, I started to feel my breathing slow, and I realized I was having a panic attack. So finally, my breathing slowed. I went and got back in bed and said, I'm done with this. I'll never do it again. I poured out all the drugs the next day, and the next afternoon at 4:30, I was back buying them again. And so same thing the next night, 2 in the morning, do all the stuff I shouldn't have been doing, go back to bed, fall asleep in a few minutes, get up, crawl, you know, fall out of bed again with my heart blowing out of my chest, and I crawl to the bathroom. And I pull myself up on the commode again, and this time I thought, okay, this is 2 strikes. You may not get a third one. And all I wanted to do was tell somebody the truth of my life. That's the worst thing about addictions. People say, well, the withdrawal, yeah, that's not fun at all either. But the worst part is the lying. You lie to everybody in your life, and you never remember what you say to anybody. So anytime somebody's like, hey, John, remember the other day? You almost freeze because you're afraid if you say the wrong thing, the house of cards is going to come tumbling down. It's an incredible hell to live in. And so all I wanted to do was tell somebody the truth. My father-in-law was uber Catholic and had been inviting me to a men's conference in our diocese every year. And I had gone once in 2011 when Father Larry Richards was there, who oddly enough is the chaplain of our ministry now. But
that's awesome.
He had given me his book, Be a Man, and I'd read about 3 pages and put it down and gone back to the drugs. Well, here we were in 2016, and I remembered that men's conference, and I remembered in particular that there were going to be about 40 priests that would hear confessions. I'd only been to confession once in 11 years of being a Catholic, but I thought, heck, I'll go there, and at least I could tell them the truth, and they can't tell anybody. So I did that, and I went in, and I confessed, I received absolution. I came home for the first time in my life feeling the Holy Spirit for the first time in a long time, and I made it about 4 days. That next day was Holy Week, or next week was Holy Week. And I sold something huge at work on Holy Thursday, something I've been waiting on. I was going to make a lot of money on. And I thought I'll just celebrate. So instead of picking up my son like I should have been doing from my father-in-law's, I stopped by the drug dealer's place. The police were watching him. They pulled me over down the street. Next thing you know, I was in jail in downtown Memphis. I got a chance to call my wife before I was taken in. And she basically said, I'm done with you. I hate you. And hung up the phone. And Jesus came and met me in that time between Holy Thursday and Good Friday when I came into jail. He showed up in that jail cell, and I remember thinking, how did I get here? And he showed up pretty quickly in my life, not some apparition, but something within me that was answering my own questions when I said, you know, how did I get here? And pretty quickly he said, it was the day you walked away from me. Mm-hmm. And I hit my knees, and I remembered all the things that I had said to God that were angry and ugly and venomous because of my mother's death and all those things. And I felt terrible for those things. I just hit my knees. I said, Lord, it's been years since I prayed. I don't even know how to do this anymore. But my wife and children don't deserve the man that I've been. They deserve somebody better. And if you think that it's someone other than me, then please give them that. But if you want it to be me, then give me everything that you possibly can to be this person. I'm so sorry. Look what I've done in my life. And I don't even know if it's worth anything anymore, but if you want it, take it. I've done nothing but waste it. Please, just come back into my life. I'll give you my life. You can have it. I'm done. I'm done trying to control things. I'm done trying to do all these other things. And very quickly, I heard out of my own voice, at least now everybody will know. At least now I don't have to lie anymore. And it was just this incredible peace. And so the Lord continued to walk with me. My wife stayed with me. She showed up in the jail cell in the visitor area and said, I'm not going to divorce you, but it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with the vows you made to God in the church, or I made to God in the church that day. We spent some time apart over Easter weekend. I checked myself into rehab. I went right into my work and told them, you know, they had all these people that had flown in from all over the country because the number one salesman had been caught in all this mess. And I got up in a meeting with them when they were threatening to fire me and left, and they were asking me, where do you think you're going? And I said, I've got to prove to my wife and kids I'm serious. I'm going to rehab. And so I went and checked myself into 30-day outpatient rehab is what they assessed me with. And I got home that Monday night after Easter, and my wife was obviously sleeping in my son's room. She didn't feel comfortable being around me at that space, but she needed me there to help with the children. And I found Father Larry's book, Be a Man, at my bedside table, and I read it from cover to cover that night. And I started changing my life. I read 40 or 50 Catholic books in the first year. I had a priest take me under his wing and had me start lecturing and going to daily mass during my time off of work and my 30-day outpatients. I started going to confession every Friday with him, and the Lord started changing my life. Pretty soon, I'd read the Bible 5 times before I was 15. All that stuff started coming alive in me again. And about a year later, he put me in a position to try to help other men. I'd gone back to this men's conference for the first time, like ever really to receive it. Not for some side reason or because somebody made me, but of my own volition. And there had been another man who was there from my parish that day. And that night of the conference, I think there was a little-known Catholic priest at the time named Father Mike Schmitz that was speaking that day. But that guy was blown up a little bit, I would say. But we went and met at this church event that night. It was a fundraiser. And this guy that I had seen there was running around the gymnasium where we were doing the fundraiser, telling everybody his sins. And it turns out he had been to confession for the first time in 20 years, and he was just, the Holy Spirit was all over him. Now, some of the things he was telling people, he shouldn't have been saying in front of a mixed crowd. So I stopped him and said, "Hey, man, you got to calm down." And I told him he'd had a moment with the Holy Spirit, and he said, "I don't know the Holy Spirit. I'm Creole Catholic. I know God. I know Jesus. I don't know anything about the Holy Spirit." And he started begging me to tell him. Well, I started to, and then the devil showed up and said, "You'll never be anything more than a cokehead, a loser, an addict. Like, what are you doing? Really? You're going to tell somebody about Jesus?" And so I tried to stop and let him talk to the priest, but he wouldn't take no for an answer. So I met him Tuesday night, a couple nights later. I went home that night after that event and to Mass the next morning and said, "Lord, if you want me to help this guy, you got to do it for me." And within an hour, I had 8 pages written about the Holy Spirit from the Ruah over the water in Genesis to Pentecost and beyond. And so I went and met with him, and I sat down, and I started to tell him everything I knew. And at the end, he said, "Man, that's amazing. You should start a men's group." And I said, "Nope, not your guy. I told you I'd do this. I've done it. You know, end of transaction, check, please, see you never." And he was like, "Why do you always say that? Why do you always say that?" Well, I had not told anybody in my life what had happened other than family and work and people that had to know. So I was afraid if I tell somebody, you know, I had gotten involved in the parish, and they're going to tell everybody. They're going to ridicule my children. My wife will be so embarrassed. They'll kick us out of this parish. All the things the devil had been telling me. So I told him, "I'm not your guy." And he wouldn't stop. He was a salesman, too. And he's like, "Tell me why. Tell me why." And I felt convicted by the Holy Spirit. And I just said, "Jay, I was arrested on a felony charge of possession of cocaine last year. I'm not your guy." And I expected him to get up and leave. And he looked at me, and he said, "Wow, that's amazing. You should start a men's group." And I thought, "Are you on drugs? Maybe we should drug test you. Did you not hear what I said?" And he said, "John, all of us are broken. We all struggle. And look at our parish. All we have is like the men's club thing, but basically all we do is get drunk and like raise money." And he said, "And then the Knights of Columbus thing, they do a lot of service stuff. There's not a lot of things for in our parish." I'm not talking about all parishes, but that's the way it was in our parish.
Now, John, we've just got like a minute left here. I need you to share, to tie this up, because I want to let people know that you're coming here to the Diocese of Fargo the end of June for the Men's Leadership Summit. So,
Sure. So basically, we started a men's group. We called 30 men together in a room and didn't tell them why we were getting there with them. And that night I walked in a room and I poured out this story in all of its fullness that guys will hear when we're there on the weekend. And other men started to stand up. And they started to share their brokenness. And that was the night that our men's group was born 8 years ago. And it started showing me that, you know, we could start a podcast. We did all that around the world. But the thing was, God really called us to go and start men's ministry in parishes, because 86% of our parishes in the United States don't have anything spiritual for men. Yes. So we go and help people build places in their parishes where men could take off the mask, where they could show up in their brokenness, and they could find other men to walk with. and be the men that God calls them to be.
And that's precisely what's going to bring you here the end of next month, June 28th through the 30th, for the Men's Leadership Summit at Stickelstead Lodge. We want to invite any man out there that wants to have that sort of brotherhood available in their parish, in their area. John's going to be coming and leading a training for this Men's Leadership Summit. So if you want to find out more about that, you want to check out fargodiocese.org/MFG, which stands for Made for Greatness. And you can find out more about the Men's Leadership Summit. John, it has just been an absolute privilege to have you on the radio. And we give God glory for the incredible work that he's done in your life and that he wants to do in every one of our lives.
Amen. Thank you for having me. It's been a joy to be with you, and I can't wait to see you in June.
Likewise, my brother. All right, well, we are going to have to step away real quick, but up next, on the other side of this break, we're going to talk about not settling for good enough in marriage, just as like what John was just talking about, and share valuable resources that will help your marriage thrive. Nate and Sarah Erickson will join us right after this.
Live, engaging, and local, this is Real Presence Live, where we bring you positive and uplifting stories and share the great things happening in our local area on the Real Presence Radio Network.
Are you thinking about making a gift to Real Presence Radio now or in the future? The easiest and best way to help further our work is with a gift of cash or a gift of stock. These two types of gifts have an immediate impact on our mission. We can begin using the resources you provide to further our mission of evangelization right away. Experience the joy of giving. Call Mike at 701-290-4503 or visit our website at rprlegacy.org. Thanks for your prayerful consideration.
Let us run to Mary, and as her little children, cast ourselves in her arms with a perfect confidence. St. Francis de Sales. Join together with families across the local area for the Rosary, nightly here on Real Presence Radio. On Wednesday through Monday nights, tune in at 8 p.m. Central, and on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Central. Gather the whole family together and pray this powerful prayer with us. Join us for the Rosary Wednesday through Monday at 8 p.m. and Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central here on the RPR Network.
In today's world, we are enslaved to addiction. I'm Father Chris Alar. Alcoholism, pornography, and drug abuse have become the master of millions of lives, maybe even your own. Addiction has led to countless deaths by overdose and suicide. So what can be done about it? Victims often explain they are searching to escape the troubles of this world, or they are trying to find a form of ecstasy. Unfortunately, these enslavers provide neither. The experience is only pseudo, a fleeting imitation of an authentic spiritual experience. There's only one true spiritual experience that can provide fulfillment, and when you find it, you will find hope. Please visit suicideandhope.com so I can personally pray for anyone you've lost and to get our book, After Suicide, There's Hope for Them and You, which helps with any kind of suffering or loss, not just suicide. I promise it will help.